We're here at SPAC, and we're bringing out the big guns.
SPAC President and Executive Director Marcia White, a woman who I share many, many common values with, is joining us here to talk about what is happening at SPAC and what they've got planned for the future.
Marcia White was appointed the president of SPAC in 2005, so that was your 10th anniversary. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Congratulations. Has overseen a major renovation of the theater during the first years of her tenure and has ensured the continuation of SPAC staples like the ballet, the jazz festival, and, of course, what we're talking about today, the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Marcia, welcome to the Traveling Roadside Roundtable Extravaganza at Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
Well, welcome to the Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, well, once I figure out how to get from the parking lot here, I'm okay.
How are things going?
It's a sensational year. You know, this is our kickoff season to the 50th anniversary, big golden anniversary celebration next year, because we'll be celebrating 50 years of this. This is really a performing arts center that's like no other. First of all, it's the summer home of the New York City Ballet. It's the very first ballet company in the world to hold a summer home, and George Balanchine helped design the performing arts center. He designed the stage and then designed a rehearsal room with the exact same dimensions of the stage so that you could do a full ballet rehearsal there if you chose to do so. And then Eugene Ormandy came along and decided that, guess what? Philadelphia Orchestra, perfect spot. And we've been having their residencies be the delight of our season for 50 years. And that's a real challenge, and it's also for us a milestone, and we're really grateful.
Do many of the, Marcia, do many of the musicians and dancers play the ponies?
I don't know if I can tell you that. That's, you know, they might decide to kill me.
Yeah.
They actually musicians, because the track is open now. Sometimes the Philadelphia Orchestra is always here during track season, occasionally the New York City Ballet, and I know that a lot of them really do enjoy that.
I was interested to see that this year you have these pop-up concerts at the track, which I think is really cool.
We've had it for a number of years.
Oh, good.
We have a race named the Philadelphia Orchestra Race,
yep.
And it's always the first day that the orchestra arrives. It's opening day, and it will be this afternoon as well.
Yeah. So what happens, Joe, I'm sorry, I'm not in on this, the pop-up meaning they just get up and play something?
Yeah, so they actually have cool concerts.
They do. They go down and play with Sammy, and they play a little piece, and then the race is named after the Philadelphia Orchestra. And this year, the centennial is being celebrated at track day today as well. So they'll go in and spend some time performing there as well. We also do have other pop-ups. Pop-ups are important to us because sometimes you have to go to the public.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to them and let them know that you're here. And we do them in the Children's Museum. We do them in a number of places downtown. And when Chamber Music Society came last year, we did a pop-up in Clifton Park, and there were 300 people there.
We're in Clifton
Park. So it was at the library, which is an astounding,
beautiful
library.
At the rest stop where I was this morning.
No. I don't know what rest stop you were at.
That took quite a turn, didn't
really
it?
Really interesting.
The text.
You need to spend more time here.
The tech stop.
Oh, the tech stop.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. See, right.
Could you? You don't break the law then, correct?
No, I wasn't texting.
Okay, good.
You were speaking a moment ago, and you used the word challenge. And I guess what I find interesting about this for you and, of course, arts institutions across this country, that it's always a challenge. And I assume you have the mindset that it always will be a challenge.
I believe so. I think we have to look at the arts differently. Number one, I think we have a challenge because, you know, people support hospitals. They support hospitals because they get life-saving care. They support colleges and universities because they lay the groundwork for a future career. But
religious institutions, don't forget that, because, you know, fire and ice, as they always say.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. But the arts are important, too. And I think what's incredibly important is to recognize what they really do for your life and what they do to a number. We have a number of programs, including the Vivian Anderson program, where we bring underserved children here to see the arts for the first time and introduce them to the artists. And sometimes when you have that opportunity to have a child that isn't strong in math and science and really don't know where they're going or how they fit, there may be something about the arts that ignites something in them to feel there's something here for me. And it can change their life. And if it changes their lives, it changes ours as well. So it's, you know, people think differently. Artists have a different concept in life. You know, they treat what people in a different manner. They're more creative. So arts also spur a great economic boost. We, for example, generate $100 million into this immediate economy every summer. And in addition, you know, you're employing a graphic artist and you're employing PR people. So the arts, you know, the creative economy is very, very important. And people need to recognize that, because you can't want a performing arts center to be there because you want it to be there. You have to support it.
You know, Marcia White, you know more about politics than anybody I know. I mean that. You really are a brilliant woman when it comes to analyzing politics, I take it your eye is on all of the candidates in both parties to see what they're saying about the arts. Yes,
of course.
Do you hear much in the Republican debates things about the arts?
I think I don't think it's number one on the radar screen right now. I think it's something that it's an important question that they're going to have to answer at some point. But I think the public needs to answer it for themselves even before the politicians get there. And a politician won't focus on anything unless he realizes that his constituents are focused on it. So the best way to make change is for people to really voice their opinion. Let their legislators know, let their governors know, let their congressmen know. You know, Paul Tonka has been here. We have had the lieutenant governor here, who's, you know, fantastic, really impressed with her. And, you know, people understand that, a lot of people understand the arts are just not an entity that provides you with, you know, a social outlet, or it just, you know, gives you a pleasant evening. It's a catalyst. It's a catalyst here for tourism. It's a catalyst for growth in the community. It's also the reason that Global Foundries located here. I was at the table when AMD came, when I was in the New York State Senate. And Hector Ruiz said that one of the reasons they were locating was because of the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. You know, it's always healthcare, it's an educational opportunity, but it's quality of life. Shirley Jackson, as well, had shared with me that we really
the president
need,
of RPI.
That's right. And actually, she's the sponsor for our opening night this evening. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's her birthday that we're going to be celebrating.
Happy birthday, Miss.
Yes, Madam, exactly. And she said to me, you've got to make it work, because I need this for the trailing husbands and wives that we recruit from all over the world. And the arts serve many, many important purposes. And without it, I can't imagine what life would be. A perfect example is in 2008, when we had the Great Recession, it began. I knew it would be an opportunity for us, because we told people to have a staycation and come to SPAC. Our attendance grew significantly. And we were actually able to cut some costs, because I shared with our artists that they had to help be a partner and reduce some of their fees, and they did. And we were able to really continue and build something very, very important.
Well, I was just thinking about this because, you know, like the Koch brothers, mm-hmm. Republican icons, and they're conservative icons, and they name theaters after them and stuff like that. But if you say to people, now I know you may disagree with me, but that's good. But if you say to people, arts, Democrat or Republican, you're going to get more on the Democratic side than you are on the Republican side. You think that's wrong?
I think it depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
And I think it's individual. I think that there are another number of people, and I'm not going to name names, that really do support the arts and feel it's important. I think if they took the time to really examine the pros, the facts. Every decision I make is based on what the facts are. It's not based on emotion. It's not based on anything other than facts. And, you know, what's the most important thing for SPAC? How do we get it? How do we get there? How do you make a good partner? And, you know, I think in the future there's going to be more support. I think for a while, after the recession, what happened is the grants started to shrink up across the board. And contributions began to do the same, because people were afraid. You know, the arts have been supported by a more mature audience, we're building younger audiences here through programming. We also have a junior committee, which is about 45 young professionals that will be the next board members. They'll be the next philanthropists, and it will be their time, and we want them to take ownership and see the future and be the future so that we don't have to worry about what's happening next. What's going to happen next is we're growing, we're changing, we're sustaining ourselves, and we're going to get to wherever we need to be.
I'm sorry, Joe, go ahead.
We have about a minute left, and I just wanted to, were you pleased with the numbers for the ballet?
Yes. You know, I think it's really a challenge to have 2 weeks of the New York City Ballet here because the cost is significant. Mm. You know, it cost us, 2 weeks cost us $2 million. We lose $1 million. But the orchestra is, it costs a lot of money too. It costs on average about $185,000 for one evening of a ballet or an orchestra.
Wow.
So that says a lot. And what's also important to remember is we're non-for-profit. We don't get any financial support from the city, the county. New York State gives us an arts grant and capital for capital improvements, but we have to raise the rest. And that's really important for people to know. I think they think because it's a state-owned facility, we're mm-hmm. state-subsidized. And, you know, that's not the case. But we're very grateful for all the help that we have had.
Well, speaking of being grateful, we are so grateful that you're here, and we are grateful that you invite us back year after year. It's an absolute thrill to be with you and to share in your mission, and we thank you so much. The Philadelphia Orchestra has their opening night tonight, and your words ring in my ear about the importance that, you know, it's nice for all of us to think that it's great to have it in our backyard, but you actually have to go. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people to do that. SPAC.org, SPAC.org. Marcia White, what a great pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A delight.
Thank you, Alan.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.